Hey guys, thanks for tuning us in for this 19th episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests for this episode include Centoya Brown Long, Alice Eve, Nick Walenda, Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers, also Brandon Lang, and Dan Estrin of the band Hoobastank. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, a comment, leave some feedback, and be sure to share with your friends. Our first guest is Centoya Brown Long, has a book to talk about, Free Centoya. First off, Centoya, thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you.
Now, Centoya, the story, folks have heard it in different variations, but after a conviction, spent time in and had a lot of celebrities in your corner that picked up after they saw the documentary, if you will, and able to get a release, a commutation and parole from Governor Haslam. And how was your time in? How has that changed kind of the way you see, just life in itself?
I mean, when I tell you it's completely changed everything, it really has. You know, the experience itself, like, it was hard. It was rough, you know, going through prison and everything that was before that. But I really feel that God has given me a testimony. He's allowed me to see certain things so that I can help other people. And, you know, I feel so grateful that I'm in a position now to tell other people about my experience, to tell other people about the things that I've learned, the things that I've witnessed, and my observations from going through all the things that I went through, because it's really my hope that from that, change can happen, from that change on an individual level and on a systemic level.
And you talk about the change, and sometimes for people to make a change in their life, it takes them hitting rock bottom before they're willing to look up, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And who has maybe played the biggest role in the change that you've had, both mentally and spiritually as well?
Well, Jesus. Jesus has definitely played the biggest role. You know, it's been such a long journey. So many people played a part. So many seeds were planted by so many different people. You know, my mother, she was there for me the entire time. And towards the end, when it comes to really just strengthening my faith and really that last stretch, all the praying and everything that got me to where I am now, it was definitely my husband. It was definitely him when my last appeal was denied and I had a slim to none chance of getting clemency. And he just would encourage me every single day. And we would pray together. We would do our devotionals, and it really got me through, because I'm telling you, like, going through something like that, it can make you lose your mind. And, you know, he was so incredible during that time.
Now the book, Free...
Still is.
Yeah, there you go. Free Centoya, the book, My Search for Redemption in the American Prison System. And when did this idea first come to you, or is this something that has kind of been locked away in your heart?
You know, I was told several times over the years that I should write a book, and, you know, I had tried, and it just would never come to me. I would try to write it, and one time the manuscript came up missing there in the prison, and I would get stuck. I would just be blocked from writing anything. It just wasn't coming, and I was at a church service late 2018, and one of the ministers had told me, you know, God said, write the book, and I was like, okay. And so I sat down that time to write the book, and it just started flowing out of me, and I was like, okay, so this is what I'm supposed to be doing, because it just came too easy, and the book was complete within 6 months.
And your story, the redemption, and it's not so much necessarily I see as retribution that you feel in your heart towards others. What is the key to that in your life?
I just have to think that the same way that I've experienced grace, the same way that I've experienced forgiveness, like, I want to extend that as well. Like, I can't say that, you know, I would like for people to understand people who are in prison as more complex beyond just that one moment and that one mistake in their life, and I judge other people that same way. You know what I mean? So it's really just understanding that, I mean, we all make mistakes, we don't always get it right, and we've not always walked in our healing. We've not always walked in a place of health, and I just try to have compassion for other people.
Now, the feedback that you've gotten from the book, I mean, obviously you said you're not an author, you're not a writer by trade, but when you get that first positive feedback, how'd that make you feel personally?
The first positive feedback was great. Like, editing was rough. that was something else. The first positive feedback I keep seeing, you know, from everyone saying, like, what an incredible book it was, how they couldn't put it down, and, you know, I keep seeing all these great ratings, and I'm like, wow, like, that's incredible, and, you know, it's a good feeling. It really is.
Being able to help others now, after all that you've gone through, I mean, that's just got to be the icing on the cake, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. From the moment that I walked, you know, through that detention door when I was 16, and I was given the opportunity to share my story, it's like, yeah, absolutely. Like, if this helps anybody, if it helps one person to prevent from going through the things that I've gone through, if it helps just one, then it's worth it. You know, it's worth me being vulnerable. It's worth me opening myself up, and, you know, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
That's awesome. Now, Santoya, I always want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can keep up with everything you've got going on social media-wise, appearances and all that as well.
Absolutely. So they can find me on social media. On Instagram, it's at Santoya Brown Official. I'm also on Facebook under Santoya Brown and Twitter under Santoya _Brown. And there's a blue check by all of them. So I look at my inbox. I check my messages. So they can follow me there. Please, by all means, let me know what you think of the book. I'm very interested in knowing that. What are your thoughts? And, yeah.
Again, the memoir, Free Santoya, My Search for Redemption in the American Prison System. Be sure and check it out. And, Santoya, again, thank you for your time this morning and for the message that you're sending others of hope as well.
Thank you. You take care.
Our next guest is actress Alice Eve. We'll be talking about the limited series on Epix and ITV, Belgravia. You know, we're from the screen, both big and the small screen, and talking this morning about Belgravia. And we've got Alice Eve on the line with us this morning. And first off, Alice, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, the series, it premiered back in April, and getting ready for the finale coming up on the 17th. And Alice, if folks haven't kept up with the series, give us a little insight into it. And I know they can catch all of the episodes as well.
Yeah, all the episodes are available for streaming on Epix. And it's Belgravia by Julian Fellowes, who did Downton Abbey. And it's set in 1840s Victorian England, and it tells the story of the rise of the industrial class. And they built this area called Belgravia because the Queen wanted to leave, Queen Victoria wanted to leave the countryside and come and live in Buckingham House, which became Buckingham Palace. And so all of the, like, rich people, the aristocrats, wanted to live around her, near her. So they built this city up, which was a marshland, and they called it Belgravia. So it's kind of about the birth of this new town.
And what is it you think about the 1800s and London and England that is really just catching on so much right now in people's imaginations?
Well, I guess it was a time of great change, which definitely we're in. And, you know, Queen Victoria, we have Queen Elizabeth now, but Queen Victoria was on the throne when there was an industrial revolution. And we're having, like, something of an internet and Silicon Valley and, like, a change of kind of form revolution now. And so there's a lot of similarities between the two periods. And also, it's a kind of beautiful period to watch costume-wise, so it works on screen.
Alice, we know that you spent time, you grew up in the UK and then moved to the United States, then moved back at a later time. And what do you think that experience has added to your repertoire, if you will?
Well, you know, I've always lived between America and London, and I have passports in both places, and I have locked down in London. I've been kind of locked down here. But I couldn't imagine living in one place because I love them both so much. And I guess it's given me an understanding of two different cultures, which is really useful in being empathetic and having a view of how the world works. You know, every country is very different and works in a very different way.
And what's the biggest challenge, do you think, in translation between between the two genres of places, if you will?
Well, I mean, there's many, you know, certainly like different words we use. But I guess we have a very like understated culture. So you don't say how you feel that much and you're overly polite. And I think sometimes that is different to the American kind of direct and honest and kind of emotionally expressive way of life. And I think those two things, you know, I think that's what happened between when Meghan Markle came and like learned the English way of life. It was very different to how she was raised. It's like two different ways of being.
And for you, the season finale, Alice, what can folks look forward to in the series finale?
Well, certainly with my character, who's kind of a modern woman and goes after what she wants, and in some ways is more like an American woman, she definitely like has an interesting finale. And, you know, I don't want to give it away, but her hard work kind of comes to its conclusion in this episode. And I think if you watch all six, it's an incredibly rewarding series that is a really strong story, and there's some really strong performances in there. So it's definitely worth watching.
And as you get in those costumes and playing house, if you will, do you have a hard time coming back to the reality of the 21st century after spending time in the past, if you will?
Well, I guess doesn't everyone find the reality of the 21st century a little bit weird? I think you don't even have to go back to the 1840s to find this period of time a weird time to be alive. But it certainly was even more weird. Yeah, I think that things were a little simpler there. You know, we filmed in all these beautiful locations and these huge stately homes and around England and Scotland. And, you know, there was a lot of space and a lot of nature and a lot of time then. And we have less of those things now than we used to. So, yeah, there was differences for sure.
So again, all six episodes of the series Belgravia, you can pick those up on Epics, and the finale coming up on the 17th. And Alice, always want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can keep up with everything else you've got going on as well.
Well, you know, I have my Instagram, which is Alice Eve. That's my handle, just my name. And that has constant updates and a link to my website where they keep updated with all my press. So that's a good place to start.
Well, Alice, it has been a pleasure to visit with you this morning. I wish you continued success and looking forward to catching up again in the near future.
You too. Thank you so much for your time.
Up next, King of the High Wire, Nick Wallenda. We'll be talking about his new book, Facing Fear. Step out in faith and rise above what's holding you back. First off, Nick, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show this morning.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Now, Nick, I guess my first question is, you know, you talk about facing fear. My question for you is, you know, you've climbed, you've walked so many tight lines, so many places across the world. Was that scarier, or was sitting down and having to put your thoughts on paper, was that a bit scary for you at the beginning?
You know what? To be honest with you, putting my thoughts on paper was very... it was like almost relieving. It was the reason why I really wrote this book was because of an accident we had. And there was sort of a release to be able to actually put it on paper. There was something actually healing about it, believe it or not.
And for you, the facing the fear, after that accident, obviously, it was a whole different thing stepping out on that wire. For you, what was it that it took inside of you to make you muster up the strength to step forward again, if you will?
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, that accident happened in 17, 8-person pyramid on the wire, 30 feet above the ground, fell. And by the grace of God, I caught the wire, but 5 family members fell to the ground, and many of them injured in different capacities. My sister injured probably the worst, with every bone in her face being crushed, 72 screws and plates in her face alone, in a coma, internal bleeding, etc. The next day after that accident, I did what everybody expects you to do, as a Wallenda, but really what you're supposed to do. We all know the analogy of getting back on the horse, and that's what I did. I got back on the wire. thinking that I was doing the right thing. And I performed for the next 6 weeks straight with only about 5 days off. And I thought that I was fine, that although I wasn't hurt physically, what I found out was I was hurt mentally. And I was trying to bury that, and I buried it by getting back on the wire, by doing what everybody says to do, get back on the wire. After about 6 weeks of performing and then another couple months off, I got back on the wire again to train for recreating that pyramid that had collapsed. And as I started training, I started experiencing fear, and I started watching that pyramid fall in front of me. See, I didn't even realize that fear was in my DNA until that point, at least when it came to wire walking. Certainly experienced fear off the wire in different aspects of life, I think, just like we all do. However, on the wire, because it was life to me, because I'd done it since I was 18 months old and my family's done it for 200 years, it was sort of who I am. And what happened was I started experiencing fear to the point where I got off the wire one evening after practice and went back to my wife and said, I'm done. I'm not getting back on the wire again. And the book kind of tells the story of basically me reflecting on my life and my family history, and then using that to muster up, in your own words, to muster up the tenacity to get back on that wire and really to dive in to figure out what was the root of that fear, and really had to learn what fear was on the wire too. I dealt with shame, because the reality was our family doesn't experience fear. So I had to deal with the shame, then I had to deal with the root of that fear, and really, most importantly, I think what I learned from that was that our minds are powerful tools, and we are in control of our minds. Our minds are not in control of us. And I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but it's true. We can control what we put into our minds and what we allow out. We can control where our minds go when we, when we deal with certain experiences. We can determine how far. Now, I will tell you, I had to go back in and dig up what was in my mind in order to get rid of it, in order to deal with it.
And Nick, for you, obviously faith plays a huge role every time you take a step forward. And how hard was it to get that true, realistic faith back 100%? Or is that still a process for you even today?
Look, my faith plays a key role in who I am on and off the wire in any situation that I deal with. So I would tell you my faith was a big component of how I was able to overcome that situation, for sure. You know, the Bible talks specifically in many areas directly on fear. In fact, fear, or do not fear, is mentioned over 100 times in the Bible. So, that was certainly one of the guidebooks that I went to a lot. And again, my faith is how I'm able to overcome every challenge. But, you know, I think it's the great thing about the Bible is it's really applicable to everybody. And if you live if you put positive in, positive is going to come out. I encourage everybody, just be careful what you allow into your mind and control your thoughts.
And again, that the new book from Nick Walenda, Facing Fear, available now. And Nick, I sure want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can find out more information about the book and all of the great events you've got coming in the near future as well.
Absolutely. So you can purchase an autographed copy of the book at nickwalenda.com. Or you can purchase it on Amazon. I think they have one-day shipping right now, or any online retailer, as well as your local bookstore has access to those books. If they don't have them in stock, they can certainly order them. So the book can be purchased anywhere, but at nickwalenda.com is where you'll be able to find more information about myself, as well as our touring and where we will be. And I say we because it certainly is a family business.
There you go. Well, Nick, it's truly a privilege to visit with you this morning. Thank you for your time and your words, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon, sir.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me.
Again, find out more information on nickwalenda.com. Our next guest is one of the Righteous Brothers, Bill Medley, has a live stream pay-per-view series to talk about, plus his upcoming 80th birthday. All right, guys, promised you another very special guest, and not often I get the nerves whenever I have the chance to visit with somebody, but one of my favorites of all time, Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers, on the line with us this morning. And first off, Bill, happy birthday to you, first off.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm thrilled to death to be talking about it.
I know, right? Now, Bill, yeah. During COVID, everybody's had to kind of change things up a little bit. And you guys have been doing these the pay-per-view live stream shows. And Bill, what has that been like for you so far?
Well, it's been great. It's it's been kind of a different deal for me, but because we're doing a lot of talking, about 50% music and the others telling stories about, you know, being friends with Elvis and working in Vegas with Frank Sinatra and going on the first American Beatle tour. And it seems like people anymore are just as interested in how and why you did things, because they can always they can turn your radio show on and listen to the music.
There you go. And Bill, what for you, what have you found is the biggest question folks ask you about the music of the Righteous Brothers?
Well, anymore they ask why I think, you know, the music has stayed around as long as it has, and I really don't have that answer. Except at the end of the 80s, all the songs came back through the movies. You know, Top Gun, Dirty Dancing, and Ghost are songs were in there, and so that kind of just gave it another boost. So I don't know why. I didn't write any of the songs, so I can say they're really great songs. You know, they're really nice songs.
And when you got started, now that you look back at the career that you've had so far, I should say, as well, how hard is it for you to quantify how the dreams were met and even surpassed by the successes that you've been able to see and the acclaim, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame membership? I mean, so many things that you've been able to be a part of.
Yeah, it's pretty much like a dream, and turning 80 has made me kind of look back at all of it, and it's just been a magical ride. And when young people ask me, you know, they want to get into the business and they want success, and I say, well, first off, you have to really, really love it. And because if you're in it just to make a lot of money or get some girls, whatever it is, that's not going to work for you. You have to love the music, and you have to love to perform. And it's just been a magical 60 years for me.
And you talk about the 60 years. Obviously, the music has changed. The methods have changed in making music. And like you talked about, doing the live streaming, probably something you never, ever imagined doing is performing for thousands of people that you couldn't see.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, man. I mean, it's like the exposure is remarkable. And it's like having a hit record or a song in a huge movie. It's just amazing how it all works, and you get to thousands of people at one whack. It's really wonderful.
And the next episode, when is the next episode coming up? The live pay per view show.
23rd of this month. Yeah, next Wednesday.
And I know folks can go online and sign up. I believe it's $30 for the pay-per-view tickets. And let me see. I've got the website here. It is the spacelv.com. Is that right, Bill?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Bill, I again want to say a very happy birthday to taking some time out with us to be a part of the show. Have a great weekend and look forward to the next episode, my friend.
Thank you very much, man. It's been quite a ride. I'm going to keep riding it.
There you go. Bill, have a great weekend, sir.
Thank you, brother. You too. Be safe.
Again, for more information, visit BroadwayWorld.com for more information about the pay-per-view series. Our next guest is the host of the Football Betting Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, and you can visit BrandonLang.com. He shares us weekly picks talking about this week for the NFL and college football. Brandon, first off, always good to visit with you, my friend.
Absolutely. You know, it's been a good run to start the football season. We came on your show last week, and we had Thursday night, we had the Chiefs, which was good. And Saturday, South Alabama, which was good. And then Sunday, the Green Bay Packers, which was good. And then Monday night, trying to go to 6-0 in football this year. And I watched Steven Gostkowski miss 3 field goals and an extra point and only win by 2. And if you watch that game, the Titans on 3rd and 1 had a guy open in the corner of the end zone with 19 seconds to go for the cover and just off his fingertips. So, but still, to come out of the box 5-1 in football on the website, feels pretty good to be where we're at going in here to week 3 of college, though.
And speaking of week 3 of college, first off, any of the matchups really jump off the page for you, Brandon?
You know, there's a couple that do. You know, looking at Tulane at home, I mentioned South Alabama. I had them plus 11.5 at home against Tulane. Tulane kind of was late in the second half, coming back from 24-6 down, winning the game 27-24. I like them at home, laying the small number to Navy, who one of my college winners was that Monday night game, BYU 55-3 over Navy. I think it's going to be a long year for Navy, a down season for Navy after their incredible season last year. I like Tulane at home. I think it's a real good spot for them to catch in and get it done. And I'm going to tell you something right now. This Lafayette team last week went into Iowa State. I'm not a guy that's real big into laying points. But if you watch them play, they went into Iowa State. They won the game outright as an 11.5 point underdog. They won the game by 17 by blowing them out in the second half. Big fan of this Lafayette team. Everybody's back. And I like them on the road, minus the points. And then, of course, the game that everybody's talking about in your neck of the woods, Tulsa and Oklahoma State. I just think Mike Gundy and Oklahoma State have won this series. They have dominated this team big time. If you look at the history between these two, Tulsa hasn't won or covered a spread in any of those matchups since 2010. And I will lay the number with Oklahoma State in a blowout on Sunday.
And, Brandon, want to get your thoughts, Big Ten comeback, possibly Pac-12 in the near future. How do you see that being the landscape of college football?
It really doesn't. They what it changes is how stupid they look now. For them to be sitting back and playing and with no fans and no big outbreaks, and they're sitting there going, wow, we kind of cried wolf and jumped the gun here. Ohio State will be in the national championship picture. I don't know if anybody from the Pac-12 will crack the Final Four, but I basically believe the power of Ohio State, the power of Michigan, but more so Ohio State. They're a national championship contender, and the weight of denying the Big Ten a shot like that, I think it was just too powerful, and the Big Ten had to play. And so Ohio State more so affects anybody else, putting them back in the national championship picture.
And then that leads us right up to NFL football. Of course, man alive, the dumpster fire that is 2020 Thursday night, right?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm still on the fence. I love the way Joe Burrow looked last week. He engineered that drive to get him in field goal range, and you know, the push off on AJ Green with the touchdown, the go ahead touchdown late. He still looked good. I like the way their defense looked, holding the Chargers to 16 points. So you would think that. You would think that you might be lean plus the points. I will tell you that between these two, over the posted total, they've gone over the posted total the last 4 meetings. So the trend would tell you play over the posted tonight.
And then the rest of the weekend, what's the big game NFL-wise for you this weekend?
Yeah, I got three really good stat game. I got the Patriots, who are 12-3 as an underdog. Bill Belichick is 12-3 as an underdog his last 15. Cam looked good last Sunday. I think that's a field goal game. Take the Patriots plus the 4. The Redskins' defensive line is going to turn out to be the best defensive line in the NFL. I like them plus the 6 at Arizona. I'm always a big believer in teams that go on the road and win outright. And then come home and lay in more than a field goal, and they've gone from the underdog role to the favorite role. I tend to always like the dog there. I'm going to take the Redskins plus the 6 over Arizona. And last but not least, Andy Reid has now won and covered 10 straight going back to last year. And with that win over the Houston Texans, he has covered 10 of his last 11 September games. I know it's a big number, but until Andy Reid and the Chiefs show you they're not going to cover a number, I think you just keep riding the Chiefs team over the Chargers.
And again, for more information, folks can log on to BrandonLang.com and also on the Football Betting Show on the Believe Podcast Network. And Brandon, want to make sure and let everybody know all the other socials as well.
That's it. That's where you go. We did a podcast last week. It went off really well. I believe the game I touted on the podcast really big was Jacksonville over Indianapolis, and they won the game outright. We got another big dog over there on the podcast, which we'll tape later today. And then again, BrandonLang.com. Like I said, 5-1 to start the football season heading into this weekend. So let's keep it going.
There you go. Well, Brandon, hope you have a great weekend and look forward to talking to you again next week, my friend.
Got it. Thank you, brother. And God bless.
Like you said, for more information, visit BrandonLang.com. And our final guest is Dan Estrin of the band Hoobastank, talking about a 15th anniversary special release of The Reason. And we might even get him to tell us what the band name was all about. Dan, first off, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Hell yeah. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, you say 15 years. I mean, how unbelievable is it to think that it's been 15 years since the release?
It's a trip. I mean, I do see it in my face a little bit. You know, I've got some gray hair. So it's there, but it's weird, man, because it does feel like it was just yesterday, especially when I'm constantly reminded of the album and the songs, you know, through photos, through social media. It's just constant. So it's a trip, but it's been 15 years, I guess, you know. A lot's gone on in the last 15 years. We're just stoked. We're making music, putting music out.
Now, you guys were best known, I guess, before The Reason, kind of an alt-rock and basically a rock band. And I remember whenever the single came through, I remember checking it out and playing it the next day. And my boss was like, well, wait a second, they're a rock band. Why are you playing them on pop radio? But how surprised were you by the reception, I guess you should say, from the general public as well?
I mean, you know, it's weird. It's like we were this new band on our first record that you know, it was brand new to us, and we had success. We were that rock band. We were on the radio. We were not on pop radio yet, but we were on radio, and we were on MTV. And we were kind of slowly climbing up this ladder, and it was a natural progression for us, is what it felt like. So by the time it got to the second album, which was The Reason, I don't want to say we expected it, because we didn't. We had no clue. But it was kind of just another step. We were super stoked, but it was a natural progression, what it seemed like. I mean, we were really, really, really fortunate and really stoked while it was going down. When we were selling, you know, every week we were told, like, you guys are selling like 90,000 records a week. You're selling 100,000 records a week. The album is now 1 million. The album is now 2. And yes, we were just like kissing the floor. But we didn't know, man. We didn't know going into it was going to be like that. We were just real stoked.
Now, I've promised some folks so many times over the years, folks have asked me where the name of the band came from. And I promised them if I ever got a band member, I would ask. So where did the name of the album?
Why would they ask you, number one?
I have no idea.
Yeah, like, dude, like you got all like the inside scoop on air at every band?
Apparently.
You're in radio. You must know everything about everyone. I'm obviously trying to dodge the question.
It's all good.
It's the number one most asked question that we have ever been asked is, what does the band name mean? I take that back. The number one most asked question is, what's the number one most asked question? That's what we get asked the most. And it's always leading us to, what does Hoobastank mean? And over the years, we intentionally blew smoke up everyone's asses and came up with thousands and thousands of different definitions for what Hoobastank means. They were all lies. Maybe one was true. One, we, you know, it's kind of like alien life, UFOs. It's like It's out there, but the government denies it, but the government also puts out crap too. You know, it's like we put out the truth amongst a bunch of bullshit. So I don't know. I don't know. It just Doug, our lead singer, these days just tells everybody Hoobastank. It basically just means the band. It's a made up word. It's really just a made up word. That doesn't mean anything. That came about in like the late 90s, you know, when in high school. And in hindsight, to be honest with you, we should have changed the band name. We should have tried to come up with a more serious, legit name. But we were idiots and we didn't do it.
Well, it has worked for you.
It does. I guess it does, you know, but I get it too, man. To be honest, like, I get it. I get that it sounds funny and it's like, what the hell? You know, I get it. But then I also laugh at it too and I go, we got the highest place that a band could possibly get in this business. You know, we were nominated, except for we didn't win. We were nominated for Grammys. You know, we were on all these platforms with that name. And that's where it's funny to me. I'm like, oh my God, the dumbest name that we could have made up when we were kids. Doesn't really mean anything. It's kind of, I don't know, dude. When I hear the name Chumbawamba,
yeah.
I'm not going like, dude, that's a great name. I'm just being honest. I'm going like, maybe they should have rethought that one too. I don't know. Just being honest, so.
I got you. Now, the album actually, because the 15th anniversary, releasing on vinyl for the first time, and, you know, I'm one of those, I love the vinyl, and how cool is it to finally see it out on vinyl available?
It's pretty cool. I'm kind of bummed because I haven't ordered one yet, and I always order our albums and just have them at home, whether to give them out to friends or family, years or what, but it's pretty cool. I'm a big vinyl fan myself. I have a huge collection personally of my dad's collection from when he was a kid and his mom's collection. So it's just like I have this massive vinyl collection and have always really appreciated it. So the fact that we finally properly put the reason out on vinyl is pretty cool.
And, of course, you can find out more information not only about the new release album available on streaming and download services, also online website and the social media as well, Dan.
Yeah, we're all over social media, you know, on Instagram, just on Facebook or on Twitter. Probably the most active on Instagram and Facebook, but with Twitter as well. And, yeah, I mean, like you had said, a re-release. It's not into vinyl. If you want to check this out, it's on, you know, iTunes Music or Spotify. You can go get the re-release. Digitally, there's 5 bonus tracks that are not on the vinyl. So if you go online and check it out, you're going to hear more stuff that's been unreleased or was unreleased or was on soundtrack. So. Well, go check it out.
That's awesome. Again, congratulations on the 15th anniversary. And Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show this morning.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Again, for more information, hit them up on social media and on their website as well. Again, thanks for tuning us in for this 19th episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, or anything else you'd like to know, you can find us on all social media, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you have a guest idea or suggestion, email me at Cameron@kwhw.com. Also, if you'd like to help out with the funding for this podcast, feel free to hit the support tab and follow the instructions. We'll see you for episode 20 real soon.